Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Any of us look back and say interracial marriage should still be illegal on the day after Barack Obama is elected president of the United States?
If Barack Obama's parents were same-sex married, Barack Obama would have never been born.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could get 20,000 people having sex for seven straight days?
What we're saying is we're willing to accept some infanticide as the implication of our support for abortion.
Faith has sustained me through the challenges and the joys of my presidency, and faith will guide me for the rest of my days.
Well, I can honestly say that this is the first time in, I think we're on 105 shows now since we come back on the air. The first time that Friday came around when I wasn't saying, boy, I wish Friday could come around. This is the first time the week has flown by for me, and I do not know why it is. Maybe it's because Issues Etc. is now a well-oiled machine. Maybe it's because I've fallen into a routine, but this is the first week I can honestly say when Friday rolled around, wow, it's Friday. Can't believe it's Friday. Instead of finally, it's Friday. Maybe I'm just not working as hard as I should. Do you think that's what it is? Maybe I'm not. Well, Friday is the day when Jeff puts me through my paces. And that means in the first hour, he requires that I do a lot of fixing things up and a lot of talking. So what I'm going to be doing here in the first hour is what we usually do here on Fridays, and that is I'm going to be, first of all, responding to your listener email, and then we'll play Issues Etc. blog of the week. Actually, only Jeff and I play that little game, but there is a game later in the program that you can listen to. Finally figured out why I can't hear myself. Earphones not plugged in. Thank you very much. Now they are. It'll be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in about a half hour, and then in the second hour of the program, let's see. Oh, it's a great second hour, by the way. One of those things that kind of falls together at the last minute. Amy Smith of the Alliance Defense Fund is going to join us to talk about the California Supreme Court's decision on Wednesday to review legal challenges to Prop 8 in California having to do with gay marriage in their constitution. And then Dr. William Dembski of Intelligent Design fame will be our guest for the last 45 minutes. We'll talk about intelligent design, respond to some of the most common objections to intelligent design.
Hey, Todd, Jeff and I think maybe, you know, you're not working as hard as you should. Maybe you started your own union in there.
Yeah, it's collective bargaining. That's right. I've banded together with the other hosts of the program, namely me, and I'm going to demand things. I don't know what I'm going to demand yet. Maybe that I have my headphones plugged in before the show begins. I was actually plugged into the computer, so I could still hear myself a little bit, but not as much as I could. You know what I really like about sitting behind this microphone when Friday rolls around? Jeff gets to read the email. I get to respond to it. What's up first, Jeff? Oh, I should probably give the phone numbers too. Still, not working as hard as I could. 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Friday, the 21st of November. 877-623-MYIE. And our in-studio email address for the next 2 hours, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org.
Jason writes, I wanted to comment on the Ten Commandments shows. I am surprised that you Lutherans hold the same view as Rome regarding the second commandment to not create any graven images / idols. You break the tenth into two to fill the void for the second. How do you justify this? God's word is clear about adding or taking away from it. What version of scripture do you use? In writing this, I do want to encourage you and your show. I have enjoyed the Christ-centered, cross-focused talk. Please consider this seriously. You are a Christian, ultimately. Lutheranism doesn't save like the rest of denominations cannot either. Concerned and caring in Christ, Jason.
All right, Jason. Now, okay, it's a good question. First of all, I'll answer the middle question. What version of the scriptures do we use? Really, the numbering of the commandments has nothing to do with the version of the scriptures that you use, because no version of the scriptures has the commandments numbered. We know that there are 10. They're called 10 words or 10 things. And we know where they begin and where they end, but we don't know how they ought to be numbered in between, because the Bible doesn't say number one, number two, number three. If your Bible does, it's added something in that isn't in the original text. So there is no biblical numbering system. We just know that there are 10. How you number what comes between the beginning and the end has had several different answers throughout the history of the church. Now, he said we Lutherans number the commandments this way. It's actually much older than Lutheranism. It goes all the way back to the time of Augustine. So now we're talking about 4th century A.D., where the commandments were numbered as the Western Church has numbered them. Now we're talking here about the vast majority of Christians in the world, not only Lutherans, but Roman Catholics and a fair number of other Western branches of Christendom number the commandments. First one, you shall have no other gods before me. Second, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You say something's missing. What about graven images? Well, we simply include graven images in the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. That seems logical. No other gods, no graven images. In the day when that commandment was given, no other gods did mean don't make idols, among other things. So we don't leave anything out. We also don't break the 10th commandment into two. We actually simply read it as two different commandments. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, and then you shall not covet your neighbor's people. Two different commandments. So how it's numbered is really immaterial. Now, there's actually three numbering systems. One, the one I just mentioned, the probably not the most ancient, but the most ancient Christian tradition of numbering the commandments. So if you have a different numbering than that, you are really the odd man out, not the Western Church's way of numbering the commandments. The Jewish way of numbering the commandments is even more complicated. It begins with, I'm the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. That's their first commandment. And in that, they include, have no other gods before me and graven images. All three of those get rolled into the first commandment. And then they have two coveting commandments at the end as well. So if you count the majority of Christendom and the ancient Jewish way of numbering the commandments, they're basically consistent with one another. Then there is this third one, which really is the odd man out, the Johnny come lately to the numbering scheme. I call it the Protestant way of numbering the commandments. And it is the one that takes graven images and makes it its own commandment, which no one before in Christendom or Judaism ever did. Makes graven images its own commandment. There was really an agenda, a theological agenda at work in numbering the commandments like that historically. It was all about let's say the Reformed, broadly mentioned, having a problem with statues, stained glass, and other things in the Roman Church, thinking that those were the real problems with the Roman Church. And so they said, hey, there's a commandment against it, no graven images, and they gave it its own commandment. When in fact, the commandment isn't against graven images, but worshiping graven images. So, and one other thing I need to respond to in this email, and that is, you know, Lutheranism doesn't save, no denominations can. Well, it's true that Lutheranism doesn't save, but I want you to understand something. It's Jason, isn't it? I want you to understand something, Jason. When I describe myself as a Lutheran Christian, this isn't brand loyalty. This is a specific confession of faith. You meet me on the street and you say, what are you? I say, I'm a Christian. That really doesn't tell you much. In this day and age, it doesn't even tell you if I believe in Jesus Christ or if I trust him for my salvation, because there are many people who will tell you with a straight face that they're Christian who don't believe in the Jesus of Scripture. So I want my confession of faith to be more specific. I want people to know what it is I really believe specifically, which is why I'll say Lutheran. Labels aren't a bad thing, especially among Christians. Labels are a good thing. If you met someone in the political scene, they said, well, I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, I'm an American. You'd say, well, what do you believe? That doesn't tell me anything. Same goes for the labels we use in the Christian faith.
All right, the most email topic for the most email this past week. What do you think?
Chilada.
No, it can't be. Chiladas, I mean, as much as I still love it, it's got to be becoming an old topic with our emailers. Seven-day sex challenge.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, there
absolutely.
You go.
Robert in St. Charles writes, this Dallas pastor is trivializing the purpose of the church. Can you imagine the Israelites doing this before the altar of a temple? Oh, that's right, they did. when Baal worship was mixed with Yahwism, they did have sex as part of their worship. You connect the dots? God gives us many good gifts, first article gifts, but not all of them have a place in the divine service apart from our regular giving of thanks for them. Will we need to have a 7-day food challenge next? How about a 7-day wine challenge or a 7-day shopping spree? These kind of emphases put the gifts, not the giver, front and center. Is this part of worshiping and serving the creation and not the creator? Thanks, Robert.
Wow, that's marvelous. What a critique. Right to the point. Well stated. I agree completely. I'm just mystified. Why in the world it's, you know, considered to be so avant-garde and cutting edge for the church to be obsessing over sex. I just don't understand this. My best explanation, I'm trying to be charitable here, is pastors going through their midlife crisis. That's my best explanation, and I think it's a pretty darn good explanation.
What about, they might say, reach the lost. It's a way to get people in the church.
I imagine it is. I mean, you can use all sorts of things to get people in the church. The question is, what are you going to talk to them about? And Ed Young's already told them what he's going to. We're going to come back and talk about your sexual experiences and what you learned and your new intimacy issues with your husband or your wife. Where's Jesus in that? My critique is always, it's really hard to shoehorn Jesus into a sermon series on sex. And it's really hard to shoehorn Jesus and his cross into it, which is why most of these sermon series will leave Jesus unmentioned and his cross unmentionable. Isn't it amazing that what they basically say, we're going to talk about a taboo subject. You know the real taboo subject in American evangelicalism today? The real taboo subject in American evangelicalism today is Christ and him crucified. You want to be avant-garde, try doing that for 7 days in a row. Try preaching that 52 Sundays a year. That's avant-garde in the church today. And you know what? Sinners might get saved. All right, when we come back, more responding to your listener email. As usual, not getting through it very fast. I'll try and talk less, listen more. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois at trinitymillstadt.org.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Marilyn Courtney, Susan Black, Jane Blankenship, Michael Horton, Rick Milas, Larry Greenway, Clark Panass, Joyce Greenway, and Tim Hu. Thanks for your support.
The toilet seats are always up. At LPR, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a gift today. Donate online, issuesetc.org. Or you can donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693.
since President-elect Obama says that his main thing was change, then it's time for him to have a change of heart. I believe that Dr. King would say to President-elect Obama, it's time for a heart change, sir.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could get 20,000 people having sex? We are the real sex experts. That's going to be the real take home from this sex experiment that we're doing. Sex is really the super glue. It's going to be a cool thing.
In contrast to the Roman Catholic view, and also in contrast to the radical reformers, Lutherans have always looked at the divine service as God serving us with his gifts that Christ earned for us.
The reality is that Barack Obama is not the president of those who voted for him. He is the president of the United States once he takes that oath of office.
All right, in about 10 minutes, no, 20 minutes or so, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Those are just a few snippets from this week's selection for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can also find them at our website, issuesetc.org, under the on-demand page, all four soundbites, and you can vote talk back at issuesetc.org, or in about 20 minutes, give us a call, 1-877-623-6943-1-877-623-MY-I-E.
Let's take one more email on the sex series, 7-Day Sex Challenge by Pastor Ed Young. Kevin in Racine, Wisconsin. This email is regards to your Audio Open Lines on November 13th. It sounds to me like this pastor lost a bar bet with some of his buddies who were looking for an excuse slash reason to have sex for 7 straight days with their wives. Imagine someone saying, honey, we have to, the pastor told us to. One more opportunity for our sinful nature to take control and pervert a gift for our own selfish nature. And then Kevin finishes, I began listening to you guys after your 3-month hiatus, and to be honest, I'm disappointed I didn't know about you earlier. Keep working hard at what you do. You are a real blessing to many people. Thanks, Kevin in Racine, Wisconsin.
Kevin, thank you very much. Appreciate the comment, but also your kind words. You know, someone's going to show up at Ed Young's church out of curiosity to see how they conclude their 7-day sex challenge. What do you go to church for? A Viagra commercial? A Cialis commercial? What is going on here? I watch television late at night, and you can always tell who they think is watching television by the commercials that they run. You know, Saturday morning, it's toys and sugar cereals and things like that. And during the middle of the day, it's feminine hygiene products and weight loss stuff. And at night, late at night, when guys like me are watching television, it's Viagra commercials. I find them extremely annoying. I find them annoying because they kind of reduce the role of husband and father. They reduce maleness to driving around on a motorcycle or dancing with your wife, which is all supposed to be the metaphor for Viagra's doing its thing, don't you know? And I find that, well, they're not only tasteless, they're just annoying. But to go to church for a Viagra commercial, essentially a sermon series that is one long Cialis commercial, don't we have better things to do? There's nothing wrong with sex. The last time I checked, it's supposed to be kept within the bounds of marriage. And that might actually mean it's a private thing between husband and wife. I mean, as much as the waning boomers want to talk about their sex lives, they seem very anxious to do it. Maybe the rest of us, maybe cooler heads, cooler loins should prevail in the church.
Jim in Minnesota, from what I heard of the interview you played of Dr. Deepak Chopra, the fact that he is a physician was never brought up. Of course, we all recognize the value of the education of a physician, but to be taking spiritual advice from a doctor seems pretty ridiculous, doesn't it? No one would take a pastor seriously if he claimed that he could fix your abscessed tooth, but people seem to have no trouble taking spiritual advice from people who have no business giving it. Great show. Thanks, Jim in Minnesota.
Thank you. It's a great point. I mean, look at it. Dan Brown, what is he, a high school English teacher? Somehow he's telling us all what the true history of the Christian faith is. And how many preachers, so-called preachers, occupy pulpits with absolutely no training in the scriptures whatsoever? And it shows. If you want your car fixed, you go to someone who's been trained to fix cars, knows what cars are all about. Deepak Chopra, listen. It's quite obvious that he's probably a much better doctor than he is spiritual advisor.
Kirsten in Kansas, I really appreciate your series with Pastor Paul McCain on the Lutheran Confessions. While you were on vacation, I listened to several of your old shows. One was titled, I'm a Lifelong Lutheran, But. I could probably fit into that category, not out of malice to deny any of the Lutheran confessions, but out of ignorance for them. Where would you recommend starting on the confessions to gain a deeper understanding what the Lutheran Church teaches and confesses?
Where to start within the confessions themselves? I can think of no better place to start than to get yourself a copy of the Lutheran Confessions, a reader's edition, which is the latest. It's called the Book of Concord.
Concordia.
The Book of, I should know the names of the book, shouldn't I? I have one sitting right behind me. And what it is, it's a complete edition of the Book of Concord, the Lutheran Confessions, but very skillfully woven into it are introductions that explain to you why these things were written, what was the circumstances, explanations of the things therein. It's a marvelous edition of the Book of Concord. I'd begin at the very first page and read to the very end. From what I've heard from lay people who've been exposed to this thing, they find it tremendously helpful in understanding what it is Christians of the Lutheran Reformation, not only what only did they believe, but what they still believe. Not all of them, of course. I mean, there are many Lutherans who consider this irrelevant, but they're not worthy of the name Lutheran, no matter who they are, whether they wear a collar or not. I'm very glad to hear that you're interested in this, and I think the best way to maintain your interest is to start at page one of Concordia of the Lutheran Confessions.
1-800-325-3040, Concordia Publishing House.
Yeah, you got to do something around here, right? 1-800-325-3040, Concordia Publishing House, and ask them to send you a copy of it. It's marvelous stuff.
Wayne in Watertown, Wisconsin. I just listened to the iPod version of your open mic regarding KFUO-FM. I want you to know that your concerns are most valid, and I appreciate the sensitivity with which you have handled them. You are a model of how Christians should handle dissent in a responsible manner. I could not escape the thought that politics, not finances, was the reason you were sent packing from KFUO. If so, then yet another lie was told to the church and your audience. And he ends by, in this world, you will have trouble. Thanks, Wayne, in Watertown, Wisconsin.
Wayne, thank you so much. All we're trying to do in those web extras and what he's talking about, if you go to our website, issuesetc.org, look under the on-demand page, right at the very top of the on-demand page, you're going to find, I think there are now four of them, web extras, open mics, where Jeff and I answer certain questions stemming from the cancellation of Issues, et cetera, back in March, and its aftermath. And they're questions that we think need to be answered. Most of it's correcting the record. Most of it's trying to make sure that the whole truth is told about what led up to it and what followed it. And the latest one is about the secularization of the FM station, KFUO-FM Classic 99. So you can go listen to it yourself, issuesetc.org, on demand. It's right there at the top of the page.
Eric writes, I was listening to some recent segments concerning the pro-life movement and how McCain was considered to be a pro-life candidate. This is Senator John McCain, of course. I am wondering how this can be considering his reaffirming whenever asked of support for the embryonic stem cell research. Is there a difference between the termination of human life when it exists outside the womb? Based on the continuously repeated comments that McCain was a pro-life candidate, it is clear that your guests consider there to be a difference. What is that difference? Do you support this position? As far as I'm concerned, McCain was not and will never be pro-life so long as he continues to support the murder of human beings, regardless of where they are physically located. What I saw in the last election were just two candidates who could generally be considered pro-life, Bob Barr and Chuck Baldwin. What I also saw was that well over 95% of the U.S. population voted for a non-pro-life candidate. Thanks, Eric, for the email.
Okay, Eric. I guess it depends on what you mean by pro-life. If you mean a spotless record on every issue surrounding the protection of life from beginning to end, then very obviously John McCain falls short when it comes to embryonic stem cell research. I don't know of any of our guests that fail to see the direct connection between abortion and embryonic stem cell research. All of them do. I recognize it as well. There's no distinction in where the embryo – the fetus is located. Taking the embryo's life is taking the embryo's life, period. So having cleared that one up, when we say that John McCain is pro-life, what we mean is that on the issue of abortion, and other life issues, not embryonic stem cell research, he has a record of voting in favor of the life issue. And by comparison, most certainly by comparison to Barack Obama, he is pro-life. Is he 100% pro-life? I don't think anyone ever said that he is. He, like many people who would be otherwise pro-life, for some reason failed to see that the embryo in the Petri dish is as much an embryo as the embryo in the womb and deserving our protection. What's up? You got anything short?
Not really. No, I don't.
You don't?
No, I don't. You think I can get through that one, Craigie? No, I don't. I don't
oh,
do it. It's anonymous. I don't read anonymous emails.
Oh, so. You don't read anonymous.
And that's the only short one.
All right. All right. Well, I don't know. What do we get through, four or five? Four? Only one, Craig? No, we got through more than one. When we come back from this break, Issues Etc. blog of the week. I've made my pick. It, by the way, it has something to do with these churches, like the church down, Ed Young's church, trying so hard to be relevant, just bending over backward to try and make the culture think they're cool and they're hip and they're not like all the rest of those stuffy Christians. It's really a bad way to run a church. My blog pick of the week has to do with that. And then Issues Etc., soundbite of the week, your opportunity to give us a call and vote for the soundbite of the week. 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. Blog of the week after this.
Sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Tara Manula, Kirsten Gindler, Ken and Jane Green, Pastor Peter Ledick, Sam Warnke, Brenda Mackey, Pastor Dennis Betcher, Marilyn Wiesahan, Frank Marin, and John Wiesahan. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Dr. Bernard Moeller is a German physician. He's been helping Australia out with their doctor shortage in a rural town about 100 miles from Melbourne. But Dr. Moeller has been denied permanent residency there. Why? Because his 13-year-old son has Down syndrome. The Department of Immigration and Citizenship says it's because taking care of a child with Down syndrome would be too costly to the state health care system. The doctor and his family only have a temporary visa for another 2 years. He's appealing the decision. The doctor shortage is a serious problem, and the hospital where he works has already invested lots of time and energy recruiting this German specialist to the small town. This is not only discrimination, it's rationing health care.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. issuesetc.org.